All right, so welcome to A Voice for Creators. I'm Daniel Norton here with Moses, my first guest. We're in between seasons, and I thought I would do something different. And they opened back up as if like it was, well, I guess, rebuilt the Adorama event space, and was a regular visitor, contributor on some level, was married there.
And
I saw you again, and I was like, hey, because what I want to do here, and I kind of talked to you about, so we'll tell the audience, is that I haven't had a guest, and like I'm an old dude, relatively old, and a lot of times I'll talk about what I did, but you're a young creator, like out there kind of doing it, right? It's like different for me. If I step out there and reach out to clients, I have like a backlog, right? I've done this, I've done that, even if it was a long time ago. When you're new though, like what are the techniques that how you break in, how you kind of organize yourself? And I thought we'd talk a little bit about what you're trying to do, what you are doing, and we'll go from there, and I'll kind of give my two cents as we go. So maybe Introduce yourself or...
So my name is Moses Akemta. I am a New York-based filmmaker. I'm trying to think of how I can better. So some of the projects that I've done is I've done a couple short films. I've written, directed, and shot, and also pseudo-edited my first short. I've also worked on a couple other projects that on various levels. For Separation, short film that I co-directed and shot, as well as Seeing Glory that I just strictly shot under the direction of Rick Hamilton. One of my favorite projects that I've done even to this day is best way I can explain it is a YouTube series called Not Your Mama's History. And it's a short YouTube series that's entitled These Roots, and it puts viewers into a day in the life of a person in the past to give an accurate portrayal of what they went through. The first couple episodes were about a couple enslaved persons in Stratford Hall, as well as one of my favorite episodes that we did that followed up with the Philadelphia Pepper Pot Women. And the first episode got over 4 million views on YouTube. I'm just very lucky to have found Chaney, who is the creative mastermind behind that. She just goes like, hey, like I want to shoot this thing. And we're like, okay, cool, we'll follow her. She's the fearless leader, and I will follow her into war if we need be.
So. Nice. That's awesome. You know, it's interesting. YouTube gives us something, or Venmo. Venmo is where you get money.
Yeah.
Vimeo, like things like that, platforms like that give us a place to put these things out there that wouldn't be seen otherwise, right? You've got 4 million people or whatever, they're watching something they wouldn't necessarily have seen unless they had gone someplace, maybe like a museum or a place to see such documentaries, right? Because we don't, myself, like, what documentaries am I watching, right? Because I'm not, you know, filmmakers are like, I watch documentaries every day, but your average person isn't necessarily watching a lot of them, right? And you're only going to watch what you seek out. But when you see YouTube and you can grab these little bits and pieces that are there, it's great. So it's a great platform, right? It's a way that we can actually put stuff out there that we want to do, important things that we want to do that aren't going to get necessarily the funding till you prove that people are interested in it, which I think is really interesting, right? Because here's something that's a really interesting and cool series that maybe if you had approached Netflix, they might have been like, oh, I don't know, do we have people? Or, you know, maybe they would have, who knows, right?
Right.
But by doing this, you have control. And you're also not forced to do what they want you to do. You can actually show the truth of the matter or whatever you're trying to present.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, the way I see it, it's very interesting. It's much like with anything, with like cameras, I'm going to say cameras because the thing that came to mind is because Seth Miranda did a whole breakdown of which, like it was a great video that was talking about like the one thing that filmmakers and creators could have and was kind of breaking down, like it doesn't really matter, like all of these different camera companies have a different philosophy. And so the reason why I brought that up was because with every single avenue, there's a pro and there's a con to it. Okay. So it's like with YouTube, you could be able to have a certain freedom within certain limitations to be able to create content and put stuff out there And everybody remembers that, you know, if you've made so many hits on YouTube and everything like that. But at the same time, there's still a lot of things that you have to be mindful of when you're posting on YouTube, as well as there's a lot of stuff on YouTube. So it's like, and it's something that creators and companies need to let go of this idea of going viral.
Right.
Because it's like going viral, it's all what there's a lot, much like making a film, it's a miracle that it gets done in the first place.
Right.
So within making that film, there are so many things that have to go right in order for you to stand a chance of you finishing that film. Now, picture that, but in an instance where there's so much stuff going out there, where you have so many creators who are putting out content that it's like very carefully curated, and they've spent and they've done all that they can to make sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed, and they sacrificed so much and even begged their Aunt Peggy's, got money from Aunt Peggy to get the film even funded. And then you have the creators who are just shooting stuff on their phones.
Right.
And then, like, you just don't know what's going to resonate with people.
Sure. Maybe that's what's important, right? Yeah. Is that it resonates, and that you, because I guess, and this is, you know, I've been parts of films. I've never considered myself a filmmaker. Mm-hmm. But when I just talk with filmmakers, it's always great because it's like, for instance, the film festivals, right? Like, mm-hmm. all these filmmakers are out there, and they're entering their work into these various festivals, who have spent their time getting certain legitimacy so that if you get accepted, then hopefully the right people will see it that will give you your bigger, you know, you might make a short that ultimately becomes a feature. And while YouTube gives you the ability to do that for free, there's no curation, right? Like,
exactly.
You don't have necessarily large production companies knowing they're going to see your thing. So you're looking at it a different way. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and it's with anything, it's just, you got to do your homework. You got to do your homework not only for your craft, but also for wherever you want to end up. Like, a lot of people would come to me, it's like, hey, I want to make a film, I want to do this. I'm like, okay, what's the end game? What do you want from it, type of thing? Because it's like, do you just want to have, like, put it together and, like, do a fun thing with your friends? Or do you just want to get some exposure? Or do you just want to do it just to see if you can? Because each one of those, depending on how you answer, there's many different answers to proceed forward in the right way.
Right. Having a goal up front makes a lot of sense. And it kind of reminds me of, like, what's happening now in the photo world. You see a lot of these, and I get people ask me, like, what are they about these, like, online magazines, if they have, I'm air quoting, nobody can see me. You know, and whatever, and I don't mean that in an insulting way, but I mean, no, they're not magazines, they're not like Vogue online, but like, whatever they're called, and it's like an Instagram magazine where they look around. I mean, I get, whenever I put a picture up on Instagram, I get these things, be part of New York City, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, is that valuable? You know, and it probably is on some level, but at the same time, if you just put it on every single one, maybe somebody will see it. But if you think about it, it's just like anything. When I was starting, there was actual, like, print magazines, and there were crappy little, you know, throwaway papers that you could get into, and then there was magazines and then different levels of them. And what are you trying to do, right? If you're going to take all the time to do something, you want to make sure you get it in front of the right audience.
Right. And for me, I want to say that, like, that's one thing I really wish I would have honed into when I was getting started. Because when I did my first short film, I'll be 100% honest, I was like, I wanted to show people what I can do and the potential. And luckily, I teamed up with a group of creators that were hungry like myself, that wanted to do kind of in a similar vein to what I wanted to do. Like, for example, just a few blocks away from here, I was part of an off-Broadway theater group. And in that theater group, I found a group of friends who I'm still very close friends with to this day. My writer, Sam Bella, we met up at a diner and was just like, hey, like, you know, I know you wanted to write. And literally all I knew was visuals. Like, mm-hmm. all I knew how to do was visuals. And so by tag teaming with her in writing, I had a very small basis of a story type of thing. It's just like, it was all like the first half was all visuals. Mm-hmm. And then there was like a little bit of dialogue here and there. And then, so Sam basically took that and kind of wrote it out. And then we kind of, and what we did, what I like to do in, when it comes to writing is, like tennis it type of thing. Like, mm-hmm. like I would do my, I would do a draft, send it over to her. She'd, give her thoughts and whatnot, and then send it over to me and whatnot. And then after it started like coming to life and I could see it, I'm just like, okay, now we have something here. Now we have something here. Mm-hmm. And, so, and the reason why I say that is because it is, while I was shooting it, it hit me in a different way, the way the scenes were being performed. And even now, like years after it's been shot and edited and everything, when I do get a chance to kind of rewatch it, I'm just like, I can't believe what I'm watching. Not to say that it's the greatest thing ever, but it's like, I didn't realize the power that I had, the power that was within the spoken word that we created, that me, Sam, and the awesome team who created Subsist made. And so the reason why, to bring that full circle to what the goal is, I want to curate a series of short films that has that sort of feel and kind of create a compilation, like a Soul Searching Saga. I'm still workshopping the name. That might mm-hmm. be the name. Who knows? But
so you heard it first here.
Yeah. So I already have that film as a proof of concept. Yes, it's showing what I can do, but it's also showing that this is what I did with just Canon 5D Mark II. Mm-hmm. Now imagine with all that experience, now that I'm older and a much more collaborative and just, I'm just in a different place. Now imagine what I can do with like an Arri or right. with a different camera.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because I believe that there's like part of us that kind of knows what we want to do, and if we don't know, and you want to direct that, right? Ultimately, you want to know up front, I'm trying to create this series, and that's what you're doing. But sometimes you got to just do it to do it. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And I think that in this case, you learn something about yourself and you're able to grow. And now you can look at it and go, hey, I started something. That's the beginning of something that I can grow on. And I like yeah. that.
And I would say never stop learning.
Right.
Yeah. That's very important. Like, I've been doing this for over a decade now. And like every time I've been involved in a set, I learn something.
Oh, yeah.
If you feel like you're walking into a set and you're like God's gift to the set, then you're in a lot of trouble. You're going to end up with a very short career and nobody's going to really want to work with you. Because, yeah. and you know this, just mm-hmm. working with other creators, it's like, you have to be collaborative. It's a miracle we get to do this. But it's a miracle we get to do this. But also, it's the other part about it. It's a very small town.
Mm-hmm. It is, and also it's an important thing that we do. You know, it's like, and I think you have to remember how important it is that we're doing this, because not only is it important for us because we have to get it out there, but people need art and they need film and they need writing and they, you know, all these things which could all fall into art. You know, this is all is important, and sometimes we are just so focused in the work we don't think about that. But mm-hmm. it's super important that we remember that, and that, like I say, we're always learning. We get down and we don't. Like, I was fortunate enough that I worked for people early on that were very community based photographers that helped each other. I mean, yes, there was the occasional person off on the side and they were just like, oh, that guy. Mm-hmm. But they never succeeded as well as the ones that were like, hey, you know what? Because when a client comes to you and they go, hey, we have this job and you can't do it, having friends that you can refer and know that they'll pull it off for you, and they won't then try to like steal the client. They'll just be like, I'll do the one job for you because you're going to do it for me, and know that like you're actually building together and working together.
Definitely.
You're like in competition, but you're also part of a larger team, if you will. It's super important. I don't think you can get very far without that. I think you have trouble if you're just out there trying to be your own.
Yeah. And it's, you gotta make friends. Like, it's not just like, It's not a solo show. Mm-hmm. Like one of the things that I love doing, it's like going to film festivals. Mm-hmm. When you brought up film festivals, it's like, I love going to film festivals because I've met filmmakers, talented filmmakers, and I've been inspired by them. I love hearing their stories. Like just last weekend was the New York Latino Film Festival, and I went because a filmmaker that I met through a film festival at a project I may or may not have done, or I just went, who cares? His name's Ramon Passante, and I met him and just been following. We just stayed in touch over Instagram, and he premiered his first feature film called Playing Sam, and I was really moved by it. Although, like, I had, like, again, no skin in the game, mm-hmm. no type of like, oh, I did this or whatever. No, it's okay. You can go and support other filmmakers. It's not just about you. It's that line. I know I just buried the lead by saying it, but one of my favorite Marvel movies is Doctor Strange. It's like a very life affirming and talks about like the purpose of life and everything. And you know, Doctor Strange goes into there being like very selfish and whatnot. But then there's this point where the Ancient One literally says the one thing that stopped you from being the great person that you know, that we know that you were meant to be, is that you never learned this lesson, which is it's not about you. So it's like, we as filmmakers, yes, we have this duty and we want to be able, as filmmakers or creators in general, we have this burning passion within us to be able to use this skill, but we also have to remember that as fun as it is to do, at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about how many people you can bring with you and how many people you can touch with your work.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. It really is. Like when I was just thinking, as you were saying that about like, when you are, I think a mistake photographers make when they get somebody in front of their lens is they make it about them. Like it's about, this is my skill at lighting. This is how I like to do things. When really it's about making that person feel comfortable, making them feel happy, making them see something in themselves that they can enjoy. It's not about you doing it. It's about them coming forward with it. And it's a good way to think. I think that way. If you agree with me, I think it's good. This is the way life is. But no, I think that that what you're saying is super important. And as you were saying that about the film festivals, I think that's also important because you also get this idea of the person that will go to something like that and be like, I'm going to go to this film festival to give out my business card, you know, I'm going to go to this film festival because I love filmmaking. Mm-hmm. And the person who goes because they love filmmaking and really sees the pieces and watches them and gets inspired and does meet people because they're interested. Like, wow, your film moved me. I want to talk to you about it. Not because, hey, this could be a job. Long term, that person, I think, will do better. I think the other person is going to be seen eventually as, oh, they just want to step in when they can get work. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not going to fly. Like, as much as we want to work, because obviously we have to pay our bills, I think you'll get more work in the end if you actually build a community and friends around you and you're doing it for the reason of the art. And then that actually shows.
And I think that's one of the biggest things that I see just on social media. It's like with creators that I wish we could see a little bit more of. A creator supporting other creators. Mm-hmm. Because it's very easy to be like, oh, hey, yeah, here's my thing. There's my dog. I mean, of course, the dog's going to get like lots more likes and whatnot. Right. But it gets to a point where it's literally all about you. So it's like when you meet folks, you follow them and whatnot. And if their stuff really jives with you, that's on you. But like, I feel like it would be more interesting if you shared a little bit more with like who else is in your circle. Like, right. Whenever I can, like, it's not just me just pitching it to make nice with a person. It's just like, I'm sharing it because I'm genuinely interested in what this person is putting out.
Right.
And unless you develop that kind of sensibility, then you're basically learning how to paddle just on your own type of thing.
Right.
Just.
Yeah. And I mean, I've known people like that through my career. I used to call them hired guns, like photographers that won't shoot anything unless they're getting paid. and they get angry. You know, it's like, oh, this person wanted me to do this at a discount, or this person says I'm just going to shoot something and do these test shoots to learn how to do this without getting paid for it. But in the end, like, yes, you shouldn't work free and you shouldn't get abused. But
oh, of course.
Like if you don't love doing photography enough, like if you're a photographer and you never shoot unless you're getting paid, either you're just really busy and you're just shooting all the time, or more likely, you're going to eventually fade out because you can't sustain that. And that's what I've seen. I've seen people, you know, do well and then in the end fail because they're not growing and they're not learning. Going back to the one of the things you said, you can't learn unless you do. And you can't always do the stuff that will make you learn unless you're pushing yourself. And those jobs aren't always the ones that pay the biggest, you know, paycheck, right? The commercial stuff is generally the boring stuff where they want you to execute what you already know, you know, on some level. And it's the more artistic stuff where you can show the, what you can do. And then once you show that, they're like, oh, you can bring that into the commercial work.
Yeah.
But if you're just always seeking that commercial and never doing the, what we call the art, right? I think that you won't ever get to do it. Like I've been on jobs before where it's like one of my longtime clients I had for a bridal company, they only wanted it a very specific way. And I was like, I think it'd be cool this way. And they were like, well, we just want this. I'm like, okay, fine. Took the job because I wanted the money. And at the end of the day, because I knew we had enough time, I was like, look, let me just do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we did it. And that ended up being a 2-page ad. And then every year they were like, what is your idea for an ad? And now I was tacking on extra money. So I was making more money, but I was also doing something cool that I wanted to do. I wasn't just doing the catalog where they just wanted to put the person in white against the background. I was doing something creative. And because I showed them work that I could pull it off, they then let me do it. And I think that's why we have to always be testing or trying or practicing or doing whatever. And I think technology helps us a lot. You know, it used to cost money every time you took a frame, right? Or if you went out with a film camera and you made any, you know, you shot whatever, 8mm or something, or, you know, shooting a minute of film, you know, you got to process, you got everything else. But now we can actually mess around, at least get rough stuff effectively for free once we have the cameras.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a big deal. It's technology is great. Almost going back to that first thing, like YouTube is great if you know how to use it and that you can put things out there and it's a platform, but it's useless if you don't, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not useless. I guess if you want to put things out there and just put it out there, that's also fine. I mean, I think that's, you know, and it's funny because you were talking about social media and I was thinking about like, this is way, but now I'm aging myself. Like when Instagram was first blowing up, some of the first people that really first blew up, some of the things they did and when you talked to them was, well, we were building a community. You know, I saw this guy over here that I liked and I would always comment on their stuff and then comment on mine. And so then what happened is you get these people that are like, I'm going to teach you how to blow up on Instagram. And the way you do it is you comment on people's things. And it's like, but if you're just commenting because that's going to help you get more views, that's ultimately not going to pay off. If you're commenting because you really like their work, that's how you become friends and build that, you know, I think in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, social media. That's a whole different. That's a whole other ball of wax. But I.
So when social media is no longer social, right?
Yeah. I've always felt a way about Instagram. Like I've always resonated with the just because I think just because I'm a visual person and just all the different funs with the filters and whatnot and blah. But I just like the concept of it because you can say a lot with a picture.
Sure.
Like even just the even just a simple post, you can say like, you can have most abstract, you can have the most beautiful essay that's written as a caption, but really I'm looking at the picture. Like, what are you saying with that one picture?
Right. That's like stopping you, right? You're scrolling and you stop. And that's where the power of the visuals is, and that's probably why we're involved in that kind of an art, right?
Oh, yeah.
As much as I enjoy reading and even writing on some level, it's like when you can put that out there for people to see, and they bring their own story in that instant, even before they read your essay, right? They connect to it. I like that. You know, they're thinking, oh, what's that? At least that's what I do when I see pictures. I always want to know what I think about it, because that's ultimately what it is. Even in a film, you have an idea, but somebody can look at it and go, well, I see this differently because I was raised this way, or I had this happen in my life, or this is what's happening to me right now. So when I see it, I think of music like that. You know, like you, I used to shoot a lot of musicians. And it was funny because you were talking about the idea of doing something to do it. And I've shot many people like that. Like, they're just like, I want you to shoot my images for my CD that I'm self-producing because I just wanted to do this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll ever get it anywhere. Of course, this is now before Apple Music, where people would put stuff up. But, you know, it's like, I'm just going to make the CD because I want to say I made the CD because I am this person and I do this. And it was really interesting to work with those people because they were just so passionate about it. They weren't trying to write a hit song. They were just writing what was in them.
Right. Yeah. And let's have fun with this.
Yeah.
Well, like, let's not just do stuff to take pictures. Let's not just do stuff to take pictures or just be whatever. I'm not just saying that just to be like, I like thinking of it kind of like a fun game. Like, what was your thought process in posting that type of thing? I'm not just saying that to like shame you for posting like a fun like thing with you like in the third corner when the dog in another corner like licking an ice cream cone while some dude in the background is like running, like, I don't know what I'm saying anymore, but
this sounds interesting.
But I think the point is, it's like, I love figuring out, when I look at it, I love trying to see if there's a hidden message in it, because those are the more fun and interesting posts.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I think you're right. I think sometimes we don't even know why we're doing it, right? Like, I think there might be a time where you're just like, hey, here's a cool picture. I like this. And you're going to put it up there. And it might actually be a reason, but you're not thinking of it at the time. And in a way, it's freeing to do that. Like, I don't treat, and when you treat social more like fun and not like you have to do it this way, I think you get that. And I don't know if that will help you blow up on it, but I think it'll be a lot more pleasant than, you know, because I do see people, I follow people that are professionals that you can just see that they're just posting the latest trend. If somebody's doing this, they post it. If somebody's doing that, they post it. And I'm just like, you're a great artist and you're posting the latest TikTok trend. Like, why don't you put your work here? Like,
yeah.
But, you know, they might be getting views. And if that's their goal, it goes back to that shooting only when you're like, I don't even want to put stuff on social if I have to put that on there. Like, social for me is a way to, like, I remember this is now going back. When it used to be like you'd have a website, you'd have like a client section, and then it became a thing people would talk about. They're like, listen, all the clients now want an about me section. Nobody used to do that. When you would send your portfolio in as a photographer, they didn't care who you were.
Yeah.
They just liked you. They want to see your work. But then the industry started to shift because things became different. Like, it became almost a personality-based thing, you know? And it'd be like, well, people want to know who you are. So you look on people's website, you see a little thing that talks about how they have a dog or they cook or they, you know, garden. And it's like, what does that have to do with your photography? Nothing in a sense, but these people want to work with you or have to work with you, I should say. Like, they hire you to, in your, let's say, a film especially, multiple weeks, maybe even months, where they're going to be working with you. They want to know a little bit about you, and that's one way they can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
So I think your social does that. So when I look at somebody's social, it's just full of the latest trends and nothing original and clearly posted there to get views, that's not the person I want to work with. I want to work with a person with the weird dog picture and the, you know, the ice cream and the, because it's like, what? Like, who is this person? What is going on here?
Yeah.
That, me personally, anyways.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, why are you saying that? It reminds me of the one, the time that I went on to Radio City Music Hall to see Hans Zimmer perform live. And he entered, so it's one of those performances that I'll never forget. He's on my bucket. Hans Zimmer, Danny Elfman, and John Williams are on my bucket list to see live. So I've already seen two of them. I need to see John Williams live before, like within the next year or so. It's going to happen. But so anyway, it starts up. He does the whole suite from Sherlock Holmes. He walks outside. He walks out, thunderous applause and everything. And then he just takes the mic and he goes like, you know, thank you for being here tonight and everything. You know, normally when folks come to the stage here, they're on tour, they're promoting an album or whatnot. I have nothing to promote here. I just want to have fun with my friends. And I'm like, this is why I'm here and whatnot. And it was an amazing night.
That's so good.
And it's like, that's the kind of energy that we need to have. Like, yes, it's important. Yeah, it's great to have goals. And I'm not poo-pooing that.
Yeah, well,
but at the same time, it's like, we need to have fun with the journey.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have fun in the journey. Otherwise, we're just going to drive ourselves sick.
Yeah, and you kind of going back to something we talked about at the very beginning is that if the chance that you're going to go viral or blow up or you're going to become, have a big hit or have the picture on the cover of a magazine is pretty small. Let's be realistic, right? I mean, to really be at that level of success is not for everybody. It won't happen for everybody. So if you're just miserable trying to get there, that's not cool. But if you could have done all these little things, appreciated everything you did along the way, then in the end, it's like, well, yeah, I never did win, the Academy Award for Best Picture, but I made all these awesome movies with my friends, and I made a lot of, I traveled, I met people, I learned things. You had a good, fulfilled career because mm-hmm. you did that. And that's kind of how I look at what I did. Like, I've done a lot, and I'm happy to have done it. I have so many memories of things I've done. And I don't stand there and start to list off clients I've worked for and bang on my computer and that kind of stuff, because I'm just not that person. Like, to me, I'm still growing. I'm still moving along. If I worked for Sony 10 years ago, that means nothing now, really, except for that I had a great experience and that I got to produce some cool work. That's no different from me working with you right now, making this, in my mind, having fun, meeting people, learning things is super important. And that's why I'm here. I'm in it for every day, for being the person that I need to be, the artist or however you want to say it.
Yeah, there were several things that popped up when you said what you just said. I'm just going to try to sum it up within the bullet points to the top of my head. Number one, I definitely want that life. That's why I'm here, because it's like, I love the whole idea of travel and just love the whole process of being on set and not only learning, but doing the thing that I feel that I was put on this sphere of existence to do. Mm-hmm. And because that's where I feel the most alive. Number two, if I would say to anybody who's like saying, like, who's just, like you were saying, just miserable, like on the way up to the top. And then if you're miserable on the climb up, how are you going to feel when you finally get there?
Yeah.
There was a instance where I was very much in early in my film career where I was very much into the whole, like, getting so caught up in the gear and everything and just going like, I'm only as good as my camera type of thing. When I shot my short film on a 5D and I was seeing like all of these all my contemporaries shooting on Reds and other cameras. And I'm like, and I finally got the camera that I use today. I was happy for like a day and a half. And then like after I put down the instruction manual, I just had a moment where I was just sitting in my room just going like, now what? And it was in that moment right there, I realized that the gear, your accolades, the one thing you think is going to make you happy by itself is not going to make you happy. It's like happiness comes within, and I've definitely done a lot of self-work over the past couple of years that very much affirms that fact.
Yeah.
And I'd say the third thing is like one of the most valuable things I ever learned in school. I was in a Steadicam class with Michael DeRario. He was a champ doing his thing. I've lost touch with him, but I hope he's okay. If you can hear me, Mike DeRario, thank you for taking those chances on me and all the hot tips and whatnot. You'd always give me hot tips.
Nice.
Those are like bits of knowledge for all you filthy people out there. So he brought in someone from the industry who'd been working. It was just like a film student's wet dream type of thing. It's just like, I would have loved to have had your career. Like, what's the one thing that you wish that you would have known type of thing? He said the words, do not do this unless you absolutely have to. It's not like if fame is the only reason why you want to get involved with film, with photos, or with anything, then you can honestly make a sex tape. Like, seriously, exactly. you'll get your 15 minutes. You'll get, like, people know who you are. They'll search for you on the websites and whatnot. But then afterwards, you're going to be discarded for the next thing to grab people's attention.
Right.
Now, if you feel like you have to do this, if you feel like this little kid who was like, who found his dad's camera and was just curious about it, or was just like walking around with watching your friends do like something cool and you captured it on your phone and you just got like this thing within you that that just capturing the action and just seeing, or just imagining a scene and just writing it down, and you feel fulfilled by that and you feel like that's what you need to do with your life. And if you have an inner story to tell, whether through visuals or through writing or through paint or whatever, then do whatever you have to do to make it happen. Mm-hmm. Until you're at that level where you're willing to have the late nights, to be able to miss pivotal moments with your family if you absolutely need to, or just have those moments where you're, where it feels like you're walking the lonely road in pursuing your craft. If you love it, until you love it that much, then walk away.
Yeah, no, you're right. I remember when I first, like, I had a pretty good job and I quit it. I've already told the story before. And then I moved to Miami, and some of the first photographers I met, they were like, see if you can get your job back. They're like, photography is not a way to make money. You'll probably make no money. You'll probably do. And I was like, I don't care. They're like, well, you're coming. You have a new car. You want to probably have a new car. I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. And you had to really believe that. And I did believe it. And I ate a lot of ramen noodles. Sometimes I still do. And, you know, that's it. If you really want it that much, that's when you should do it, you know. Mm-hmm. And this is true for everybody, because I'll say it, because a lot of people listen to my podcast are older, as I've seen from emails I get. And it doesn't mean that you can never do it either. Just because you went a different way, mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that you have to sacrifice everything to do it, but it does mean that you have to be doing it because you love it and because you really want to do it. Like, when you get home from that job that you need to work to pay for your mortgage for your family, instead of just relaxing or maybe taking some extra time with them, you're writing your script, or you're practicing your art, or you're looking for, you know, a subject to photograph if you're a photographer. That's when you just can't put it down. Like, you don't, you know, you're not doing it because, oh, I have to do it today. You're doing it because you really love it. That's how you know that it's for you. You will maybe have times mm-hmm. in your career where you're like, I don't feel like doing this right now.
Yeah.
But you know that if you actually did walk away, that you would have to come back. And I think that's it, right? The have to do it is an important thing that I think that people that aren't in the arts don't necessarily get. Like, mm-hmm. they get it as words, but they don't get it as that, right? And that's also fine. I mean, again, that just means it's not for you as this.
Yeah, and it's perfectly fine. The other thing mm-hmm. is, like, we all just need to remember there are many roads to get to where we, like, success is, there are many different ways to get to success. Mm-hmm. One person's a weekend warrior, the other person just basically sold their house to make a film, and it happened to make a lot, and it happened to be super successful. And then there's another person who's like a journey person who's put in the sweat, blood, sweat, and tears, and then at the end of the day, it happened. Like, one of the best stories that I've heard was I forget her last name, but her name was Dorothy. She was an elderly woman who wanted to be an actress. She ended up being one of the elders in the Black Panther movies. Nice. She passed away. Shortly after the second one was released. Mm-hmm. But the fact that she was in a movie, of that caliber at 80, like at 80 plus, it's like, if she can make it, then anyone can make it. As long as you have that desire, somehow, some way, there's a way to make it happen. As long as you're willing to put in the time and put in and do your best and be willing to enjoy the journey there, I guess.
Yeah, and I think what's important kind of on that is that if you realize that you're not, you shouldn't feel bad either.
Yeah.
It's like, you can say, I love photography, I love painting, I love filmmaking, but I'm not going to take my every extra weekend to do it. I'm not going to sacrifice my vacation to do it. I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to enjoy it. And that's totally fine.
Oh, of course.
And it's great when you recognize that, because then you know you can do something else. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're just like, hey, I just like doing this. And you know what? It's freeing to know that you don't have to do it. Even if you've been pursuing it, if you've been doing it for a couple of years and you're just like, this isn't what I want. I mean, I've met people like that did photography for a while, Some were hired gun types and just moved on because they did something else for more money. And some were pretty passionate about it. And they realized, you know what? This isn't for me as a career. I like making photos for myself. I like to do the occasional gallery show, but it's making me not love the art because I'm doing it as a job. So everybody, like I say, approaches it differently and at different points in their life, but it doesn't really change. It's funny because I didn't know what we were talking about. I was like, well, you know, young guy, working, kind of things aren't different, right? It's like, for what you're saying is exactly what I was told and what I experienced is that you just got to be out there. Community is important. We need to learn, kind of check our egos. And I think in the end that works because people that have big mouths and big egos oftentimes seem like they're doing well. But if you're in the game long enough, you'll see that they're usually not.
Yeah. I think the big thing is just that I'm noticing here is just follow your inner voice, whatever that be. It doesn't matter if it, like, now putting art aside, it could be involved with just how you live your life. It could be with, like, relationships, with career path, with even if it's just something as simple as what you want to have for dinner. It's just like, what are you feeling? Like, what are you feeling? What's inside of you? Like, what's speaking to you? Mm-hmm. And as long as it's truthful, then nobody can be mad at you for, like, express. Of course, unless it's like you're out there, like, being hateful and just being a piece of shit type of thing.
It's kind of terrible that we should have to say that, but
it's very important. As long as you are not infringing on anybody else's right to live their truth, whatever that may look like, and as long as you can look at yourself in the mirror and be glad with what you did at the end of the day, then go for it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great and maybe an intense topic too about, like, why people are hateful. And maybe that's another thing we could talk about. It's something that is hard to understand, but something we have to think about. And really, and this is people being, you know, whatever, trans or homophobic or people being racist, but also just people that are hateful of somebody else that's more successful than them. Mm. You know, the idea that you are projecting your anger or your hate on somebody, it generally has nothing to do with them. Unfortunately, they take the brunt of it. So think about that. When you sit there, and I've done this, I've sat there when I was younger and been angry and looked at photographers and been like, that guy's on the cover of the magazine and they suck. Why am I not there? And I can say that doesn't work. That is not the way to get there. No. So I can tell you that right now. You know, if you are feeling negative or you're feeling like mean or hateful or you feel like something's happening, think deeper than that. Like, don't rest on that. That's only going to hurt you in the long run, really.
It all stems from insecurity and just either both insecurity and ignorance in any way, shape, or form. But it's just like, any type of that energy, it's just best used in different avenues. Mm-hmm. Maybe in your work. Maybe.
That's right. Turn it into your work, you know, and maybe once you see it in front of you, you realize what the issue really is.
Yeah.
And so who knows? That's an interesting...
And talk to somebody. Just like really have like a supportive central. That really makes all the difference in the world. Like, have, if you don't feel like you have people, just reach out. Like seriously, reach out. Like, it saves lives. Please.
No, you're right. Yeah, it's tough too because I think sometimes we make excuses, you know, for things that are happening, and it's easy to blame somebody else and ourselves. And now we're getting all deep at the end. So people stuck around this long, but you know, and I think that's something we have to really consider. And like I say, I've seen it. I've been it. You know, I mean, I've definitely been in places where I've been like, this isn't fair. Why is this happening to me? You know. But the thing is that life is like that, and you have to accept that sometimes things happen, but you have to look at what you were meant to do, what you were supposed to do, and focus on that, and not on others, not externally, at like if somebody else did something to you. Now, maybe their truth was to be on the cover of that magazine, even though I felt like it was mine. You know, I was eventually, but I mean, sometimes it's not your time, you know, and that's it. So that's the end of that, I guess. We'll maybe talk about that another time.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. If anybody has anything they want to write in or call in, check the show notes. They go wrap up there spontaneously, unless there's something else you want to say.
I'm honored to have been your first guest. like seriously.
Yeah, it was great to see you.
Yeah, the thing is, it's like the whole concept of like never stop learning. That's why I kept coming back to Adorama. I really resonated with how you handled like the onsets and everything. And it's like, I still go whenever I have a chance. Cause it's like, well, partly for like, cause I just want to make sure it's my slight anxiety or OCD just to make sure that I keep the thing sharp and just like, okay, I didn't forget the thing that I didn't forget the thing that I type of thing. So it's like, that's a thing for me, but really I'm very much honored to have been able to be able to do this with you.
Yeah, no, thank you for doing it. It's funny because when I first started doing this, people were like, you should reach out to these, like, you know, well-known Joe McNally, whatever, and be like, but I'm like, I don't want to have an interview show. Like, I want to just talk about philosophy and stuff. But then when I was thinking about it, I was like, you know what? It'd be great to hear from somebody else. And then I happened to see you and I was like, man, Mo's such a cool person. Like, I've known you, like, you know, we don't hang out, but like I've met you a bunch. We've interacted, and I'm like I could tell you vibe out as somebody who's very cool, and I knew that you would have something to say. And I'm glad that I was able to put you on this platform for you to say it. I will put links to whatever you like, so send me links.
Oh, will do.
In the show notes, and guys, follow and girls, follow Mo's wherever he may be. I will put links to what else I say. Oh, my Discord. Join the Discord. Have fun.
I guess I can plug my Instagram. I'm gonna be I'm at on Instagram at Moses Akemta for real. Real as in film reel as opposed to R-E-A-L, which I say. My link is in the Instagram and it's gonna be in the show notes and whatnot.
I'll put it in there. It's funny because you did the thing that I always ask models not to do in videos. Like, don't say it in the video because what if you change it?
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I mean, yeah. That's too
good. I'll put a link. Yeah,
yeah, that's too good. I'm keeping it.
Yeah, no, thank
you. I'm keeping it.
And I'll just say because Erica did that. She literally said it in a video, and then she changed it like 2 weeks later, and all I got was comments going, "That's not the right thing." And I'm like, so it'll be down there. But you can also, if you typed it in, then you probably already followed me. You're probably not going to change yours.
No, I'm keeping that.
So it probably won't happen. Yeah, so. But yeah, as Seth would say, I'm a terrible dismount, so we'll just leave it at that. I'll talk to everybody soon, and thanks, Moses, for being on.
Good night, everybody.
Woo. All right, I recorded.